All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I get to be your host today. And we're kind of working through all of our technical things here. Kind of looks like one of those old telephone booths where everybody's kind of plugging in, plug here, and a plug in, plug in there. Because we've got a lot of people that are going to be on the program today. In the studio, we've got three. And then I've got somebody that's on the phone that we're going to be talking to in just a second. And I wanted to let everybody know that we're going to be talking about Sousa today, John Philip Sousa, the March King. This is going to be exciting because we're going to be talking a lot about Sousa. We're going to get a biography of Sousa. We're going to play some Sousa. And if you want to get on the action and talk to us about Sousa or maybe suggest one of the tunes that we could play, you can call us at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. And I think that it's going to be fun. So I don't know about you, but I love Sousa march music. And for all of you people out there that have ever marched across a field in a formation, more than likely you probably were marching to Sousa, I'll bet. And right now I've got somebody coming up on the line. I think it's Leroy Page, right? Leroy, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Yes. Hi, Dale. How are you?
I'm doing great. So tell me, what are we going to talk about today? I know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. What's going on is I'm the state director for Honor and Remember, the Michigan chapter.
Right.
And I know last year you had George Lutz, the founder. You were speaking to him. He was telling you quite a bit about Honor and Remember as a national organization. And I guess I just want to kind of inform you of kind of the different things that we've got going right now. And see if your audience would, kind of come up, understand what Honor and Remember is all about and how we can help the families of our fallen heroes.
I think that's really important. Tell our audience a little bit about what Honor and Remember is.
Okay. Honor and Remember is an organization that is dedicated to recognizing our fallen heroes and their families. Many times when the fallen hero loses their life and the family deals with the loss and the numbness and just realizes that their loved ones are not coming home. And they deal with that. And for them to think, okay, is my loved one, is his sacrifice or her sacrifice, will people remember that sacrifice? And normally, mostly, sometimes they do, but then they tend to forget. And when the family or the friends of the family stop thinking about that loved one, then that fallen hero is no longer remembered.
Right,
And that's what Honor Remember is all about. We are giving the perpetual thank you to the families of those who lost a loved one. And we have right now approximately between from Korea to the War on Terror, there's approximately 4,000 fallen heroes and their families that we're trying to recognize them by giving them a personalized flag with the name of their loved one on it, the rank, their name, their date of death, and the place where they lost their lives. And this is a very important part of our goals that we try to bring about to establish, educate, and present the families of the fallen heroes.
Well, Leroy, how do people get more information about Honor and Remember? I was talking to you last week at the Vietnam Veterans meeting, and you had one of the flags there. And folks, it's a very powerful flag. It really is. And it is now flying at the VVA VFW hall in Ann Arbor down on Wagner Road. So
right.
You get down there and check it out if you get the opportunity. The website is honorandremember.org, and the organization, it's a national campaign of remembrance. Remember, this is not only to honor those who have passed away, but also to help the family themselves provide an opportunity to remember their loved ones.
Yes, very much so. Like I said, that's www.honorandremember.org. And they have, you know, the website gives all kinds of information, you know, how to purchase a flag. Mostly generic flags usually cost about $50.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's someone who has a loved one, there's a drop-down box on the site where you can actually request a flag, and they fill out the pertinent information, and then wherever that fallen hero, where the family is, whoever makes the request, they can the information will go to the state where they live, and we as a organization, as a chapter for Michigan, we don't want the Gold Star families, even if the organization or if they're not part of the organization, we are the ones that want to present that flag
to them.
To them.
Right. Right. I understand
special
that.
Ceremony, mm-hmm. Or it can be a private ceremony if they want to have their privacy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you calling us, Leroy, and I want to
thank
you very much. And I'll remind our audience, it's Honor and Remember. It's honorandremember.org, and this is to donate. It's a national campaign of remembrance. It's not. It's for the family, but it's also for other people to help the families. It's our way of trying to help. You know, all these other organizations out there are great, and they help the individual, but we want to let other people know that we, as a country, are want to honor them as best that we can, too. So thanks, Leroy, for being on Veterans Radio.
Dale?
Yes, sir.
Can I just ask to encourage, we have a couple of things we'd like to see people come out, and we actually are going to do a presentation up in Northville at Northville High School next Saturday.
Okay.
At 11, and we'd like to see people come out if possible. You know, actually see how we work in making a presentation to the family of one of our fallen heroes.
Okay, so this is next Saturday, the 21st of May.
21st at 11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock at Northville High School.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Honor and Remember. Folks, remember, if you're in the Northville area, or if you're not, go up to Northville High School next Saturday. It sounds like a great ceremony is going to be held there to give one of these flags to a deserving family. We're going to be coming right back after this break. For the next 50 minutes, it's going to be Sousa, Sousa, Sousa. So make sure that you pay attention. The number is 734-822-1600. We'll be right back after this. Okay, category number one is Sousa. Who wrote that one? Right, sitting in front of me, all playing air instruments while that was playing. Joining me here on Veterans Radio, from my left to my right, I've got Jerry Robbins, who is a conductor emeritus of the Washtenaw Community Concert Band. And in the middle of there, we've got, wait a second, here he is. He's Dan Umbach?
Yes.
Umbach. And on my right, immediately, is Dan Smith. So we've got a trumpet, a trombone, and a uniform, a euphonium, better known to me as a tuba. But they don't have their instruments here. Somebody was looking in the window going, where? I don't see any instruments in here. But we asked these people to come on our program today because next week they're having a huge Sousa concert. And so, Jerry, I'm going to go to you first to tell us a little bit about the concert and what it's kind of an unusual concert. So, Jerry, tell me about this concert that's coming up on next week.
We are playing a tribute called A Portrait of Sousa on Sunday, May the 22nd at 2 p.m. in the historic Michigan Theater in downtown Ann Arbor. We want you to know that this concert is free and open to the public, and we urge you to attend. We are doing this in commemoration of the great spirit and the enormous contributions that John Philip Sousa made to the musical heritage and the musical history of this country.
Okay. And I understand, again, this concert is going to be at the Michigan Theater next Sunday, the 22nd of May, beginning at 2 p.m., but there's something going on before then, isn't there?
Yes. Actually, it's an afternoon extravaganza. If you get one of our free tickets, which you can obtain by going to our website, wccband.org, you can download a free ticket, which will get you into the Michigan Theater by 1 o'clock. And at 1 o'clock, there is going to be a special presentation about Sousa, the Sousa Band, and his life and his contributions. There will also be a performance using the historic Barton organ in the Michigan Theater of period music before the 2 o'clock performance. But even if you don't download or otherwise get one of our free tickets, be there a little before 2 o'clock, and the doors will be open for you to come in and enjoy a delightful band concert.
I think it's going to be terrific. And Dan Smith is going to be there, and you play what instrument?
I play the trumpet.
Okay. And what is it about Sousa that you like?
Well, it's just fun music to play. It moves along quickly. Concert bands like to play fast and loud. We can play fast and loud with Sousa. Conductors are always trying to keep us quiet and slow us down. And with Sousa, they don't have any luck with that. We can play fast and loud, and the music just makes you want to tap your foot or swing your arms as we were doing here a few minutes ago. It's fun to play.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And my other Dan, I'm going to ask you to come a little closer to the microphone.
Okay.
You said that you had... We were talking earlier about something that occurred. You went to Texas A&M.
Right. One of the favorite things we had was there's a lot of rivalry within the Corps of Cadets at Texas A&M, at least especially when I was there. And we would, before the football game, we'd have a pass and review where all the Corps of Cadets would pass. And there'd be visiting dignitaries to sort of judge the Corps as they marched through. And if there was a particular unit that might have gotten at us a little bit that week, the drum majors would usually try and schedule a Sousa march to coincide when they were passing review, especially towards the end of the march. And if you listen to the music, you'll hear this rather dramatic slowdown for emphasis. Mm-hmm. But when you're marching, as we all know that have been in the military, you're marching in step to the drums, and when it starts to slow down, it really ripples through the ranks and kind of tends to make the marches look a little silly for the dignitaries.
Well, I can remember that. Just anywhere that anybody who's been in the service knows that when you marched across those parade fields, probably 99% of the time you were marching across with a Sousa tune playing in the background. And so I know, kiddingly, while I was listening to prepare for this program, some of those things are just throwing me back 50 years, and I'm going, oh, I remember that one. Oh, that was when the sergeant yelled at me when we did something wrong here, and so on and so forth. Well, Jerry, I'm going to ask you a little bit about Sousa. What the heck made him so popular? When we sent out the flyer, we said, before the Rolling Stones and before Benny Goodman and all the rest of that, the music, there was Sousa. And this guy was huge worldwide, wasn't he?
Worldwide. Absolutely no question about that. I think the thing that we need to keep in mind is that Sousa had a substantial military history. When he was born, he grew up in Washington, D.C. His father was a trombone player in the United States Marine Band at that time. And John Philip Sousa went to school in the Washington, D.C. schools until he was 13. He was an accomplished enough musician at that time that he was approached about running away from home and joining a circus band. His father found out about that, and as fathers are inclined to do under circumstances like that, Sousa's father grabbed him by the hand, took him to the Marine Corps, and at that time, the Marine Corps band had a provision for apprentices. So at age 13, John Philip Sousa became an apprentice with the United States Marine Corps band, and he continued in that capacity until he was 21 years old, serving two engagements during that period of time. He then went off on his own and played in pit orchestras for musical shows.
Well, what was I don't think our audience would understand this, but his instrument of choice was...
was the violin.
Right. Not a lot of violins in march music.
Absolutely, and that's one of the strange things about him. He was an accomplished violinist, but yet his love was for the band, the concert band, the Wind Symphony, as it emerged under his leadership. And when he was 26, he was approached about coming back and being the conductor of the United States Marine Band, which he gladly accepted. And he served two enlistments with the Marine Corps as the conductor of the band. But in 1892, he decided that he could make more money and make better music and reach far more people if he organized his own band rather than deal with the restrictions that he had to operate under as a member of the United States Marine Corps. So he organized his own band, and between 1892 and 1931, for 39 years, he and his band traveled the United States 1,000,000 miles, made 4 tours of Europe and 1 world tour, playing to countless hundreds of thousands, even millions of people during that period of time when there was a great thirst in this country for live music. These were the days, remember, before recorded music was very much available. And so he was the biggest thing around, bigger than any of the touring rock groups of more recent times. He had one other bit of military history that I think is important to bring up on a program about Veterans Affairs. When World War I was about to affect this country, he was asked in 1917 to come to the Great Lakes Naval Reserve Station near Chicago and organize bands there. And so during 1917 and 1918, he was in his 60s at the time, but he accepted a commission in the Navy, refused to let them pay him more than $1 per year, and he organized bands out of the Great Lakes Naval Reserve Station, and his bands there traveled all over the Midwest and in Canada, raising money for the Liberty Bonds in the United States and Victory Bonds in Canada that were used to support World War I. When that was over, when the war was over, he resumed his touring with his own band, which continued up to the beginning of the Great Depression, when it just didn't make financial sense anymore, couldn't make a living out of it anymore. So the Sousa Band disbanded, if I may use that term, in 1931. And unfortunately, that was the end of an era. Sousa died not long afterwards.
Well, what would you say would be one of the first very popular Sousa tunes?
One of the marches that Sousa wrote was one that we've just heard. He wrote this during the years that he was with United States Marine Band, and it was the motto of the Marine Corps, Semper Fidelis.
Okay, can we hear that a little bit more of that one if we've got that one still locked up there, or I've got to stretch a little bit? Okay, not a problem. We can do that. So tell me about his – so he wrote this – this is now the – is this the official song of the – one of the songs of the Marine Corps?
I believe it is.
Okay. So what is it about playing these types of music that appeals to you?
For me as a tuba player, you know, tubas are predominantly known for oompas and polkas. And for this, there's a lot of oompas that we play in the Sousa marches, but every once in a while, he will throw in these really cool little runs or these connected notes, mm-hmm. things that trumpets often play. And it's a time for us to kind of really sort of grab the bit in our teeth and just go with it. And it's a lot of fun.
Okay, let's see if we can pick out these, and we'll play a little bit of it, and we'll come back and talk about what it's like to actually play this song. This is Semper Fidelis. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about Semper Fidelis. I'm going to ask you to cue up Washington Post when you get while you've got the time. And as soon as that's ready, we'll play a little bit of the Washington Post march. So tell us, what is the favorite part? I know trumpets just, you guys could just blast this stuff.
Well, trumpets always get to play the melody a lot. And even I play third trumpet, so it's not the actual tune you're humming to, but the rhythm usually matches the melody. It's just down a chord or a couple of chords, depending on where you are. But it's, we get to play the melody. It's the one that everybody kind of hums along to and snaps their fingers to. And so that's fun. But then depending on what part of the piece it is, the trumpets also get some fun little pieces, the off beats and making the little thing, and you listen carefully to some of that, and you'll hear all these little off beats coming at different parts in the marches that kind of fill the whole march up and make it complete.
Okay, we're gonna play Washington Post March right now, so here we go. So our historian of our group is telling us that this was from 1889?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more. We got 3 minutes till we get to take a break.
Sousa wrote this march in 1889 while he was still the conductor of the United States Marine Band. And it happened that the Washington Post was and is a prominent newspaper in the Washington, D.C. area. The Washington Post sponsored an essay contest. And children and young people from all over the area were invited to submit essays to the newspaper. And so, in honor of this contest and the winner of the contest, the newspaper asked Mr. Sousa to write a march for this, which he did. And he named it, of course, in honor of the newspaper. Sousa intended this, of course, just to be a march to be used for military purposes and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But the popular dance among young people at the time was the two-step. And people discovered that the Washington Post was ideal music for dancing the two-step. And so around the world, even today, among people who do historical popular dance, they will refer to not the two-step, but they'll say, let's do the Post, or let's do the Washington Post. Referring to the dance by the name of the music that was just overwhelmingly used as the background music for dancing the two-step.
Well, what an influence, obviously, Sousa was on band music all around the world.
Absolutely.
We're not playing any music from any place else right now, but if, you know, we were looking at all of the albums. That's because our age. But I was looking at the CDs and the list that we have, and there were a lot of marches. Of course, they're, you know, from different parts of the world, and of course locally, and you know, and our theme song is a march also, but it's not a Sousa march. It's really kind of interesting when you think about the influence that this man had on music in general for 70 some odd years.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question that not only his compositions, but the things that he popularized. One of the things that many people today do not realize that Sousa introduced major European composers to North America and to American audiences. The Sousa Band was the first band to perform music by many of the great composers that we now think of in the classical tradition as the composers. And their music was first performed in this country by the Sousa Band. So Sousa had a tremendous educational influence on this country.
Okay. Well, we got to see what you learn when you listen to Veterans Radio, folks. So you got to stay tuned because we're going to go take a break for the news, come back with more Sousa. We're going to play more music. And we're really excited about it. So stay tuned. You're listening to Veterans Radio. And that was Manhattan Beach. I'll bet you didn't know he was in Manhattan, too. This is kind of fun. We're talking about John Philip Sousa, but mainly we also want to talk about the upcoming concert, which is going to be next Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Michigan Theater. And this is the Washtenaw Community Concert Band is going to be playing. And it's not just going to all be Sousa. And so I'm going to go over here to Dan Smith and get a little bit more information about the educational information and material that's going to be provided.
Well, as Jerry was just saying before the break, Sousa introduced a lot of European classical composers to American audiences, and our concert next Sunday is doing some of that same thing. Of course, it's no longer an introduction because we're familiar with these different composers, but we're playing music that a band is playing some of these pieces that normally are performed by orchestras. We're playing a piece by Cezanne. We're playing some excerpts from Carmen with a soloist singing some of those pieces. We are playing a piece by Wagner, arranged for band, and Sousa did all this type of stuff. So while Sousa didn't necessarily compose some of these pieces, they are Sousa arrangements to, as Jerry was just saying, to expose American listeners at the time, 100 years ago, to some of these great European composers and some classical music. So it wasn't all just marches. We're not playing just marches next Saturday. It's not going to be 90 minutes or 2 hours of all marches. We're going to have a huge variety of musical experiences in our Sousa concert.
Well, it just sounds like it's going to be a fascinating concert, as you mentioned, not just Sousa, but all kinds of different kinds of music, and it's almost like Jerry, that we're taking everybody back almost 100 years to what a Sousa extravaganza event, let's put it, an event would be.
Actually, it's slightly more than 100 years. Actually, we are doing a lot of replication of an 1899 concert that Sousa presented right here in Ann Arbor. In fact, Sousa actually performed a number of times in Washtenaw County, primarily in Ann Arbor, but four times in Ypsilanti as well. In fact, Sousa performed in Ann Arbor during his very first concert tour in 1892. But he was back in 1899, had been here several times since then, and one of the points that was mentioned by you just a moment ago is extremely important about all Sousa concerts, and that is that Sousa believed that there should be some music for everybody on every concert. Mm-hmm. So that's why you find some light music, some novelty tunes, as well as this heavy, serious classical music and a lot of encores of Sousa's own music, primarily his marches.
Okay, when we were talking earlier, you mentioned that Sousa had been in Ann Arbor a number of times, or in the Ann Arbor Ypsilanti area, but he had some influence on the University of Michigan's music also.
Yes, he did, and that's another reason that we are replicating an 1899 concert. It seems that a young student at the time at the University of Michigan, Mr. Louis Elbel, who was from South Bend, Indiana, went from his home to hear a Sousa concert, probably in Chicago, because he was well aware of the fact that the Sousa band was going to be playing in Ann Arbor a few days later. Mr. Elbel had written a song. He had originally just written it to be sung with piano accompaniment, but he apparently got a friend to help him arrange this for band. So he managed to get an audience with Mr. Sousa at a concert in the Chicago area and asked Mr. Sousa if it would be possible for the Sousa band to play his composition when they were in Ann Arbor a few days later. He probably didn't get an immediate yes answer on that because Mr. Sousa would need to look at it, perhaps have the band play it, study it a little bit. But it became very well known in the community 24 hours before the concert that the band was going to play The Victors.
Let's hear what that song is. Well, I think most of us in the local area anyway will recognize that tune. Dan Umbach, as we were listening to this, you were talking about the structure of marches and how this fits in.
Yeah, it's one of the things, especially from the tuba standpoint, we tend to start off with that little beginning part where it's sort of a fanfare. And I've also played trumpet and cornet, and you kind of start it off with a bang and get everybody's attention, and then you come through with a repeating melody. And then somewhere along the line, there's this, we call it a key change, or it's sort of a change in the tune, kind of a break strain, something, a change in rhythm, something to kind of like break up the song and the melody. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times at the end, it goes into this, I call it a grandioso, or it's this sort of the thing at the end of the song, you're tapping your feet and you're enjoying it, and all of a sudden it just sort of makes you swell. It's like, oh yeah, that's the end, that's the finale. And there's something about that from my standpoint of both playing it and also listening to it, whether that's, you know, driving around the car, which I don't always listen to marches when I'm driving around the car. But I really love to watch, especially Sousa, Stars and Stripes Forever, at the end of a fireworks show. You know, to have my kids and being on the porch watching the fireworks over Lake Michigan. And right at the finale, when everything's really going off, there's something about that that just seems right.
I was listening to a number of other Sousa tunes over the last week, and many of them do that. They get your attention right away, and then there's kind of this slow down, as you mentioned, it's kind of this slower beat is the way I understand it, and then he bangs it back up there again at the end, and it's really exciting. That's what I enjoy about listening to it, and so Dan, my other Dan Smith. You're with the trumpets and things, and at your concert, what are some of the other Sousa tunes that you can think of off the top of your head that you're going to be playing?
I don't want to give away the entire program. I mean, part of the idea is to come and listen to the program and hear it live. We actually, just to tell you a little bit about the program, in the way Sousa did this 100 years ago, we're not even listing all the music that we're playing on the official program. One of the things, the way these concerts were performed, is there would be a piece, so we're going to have a soloist, for example, and then the band will play an encore even before the applause is finished. So the guests might be taken aback a little bit, because usually the performers wait until the audience is done applauding before moving on to the next piece. We're not going to be doing that all the time next week. We have several encores that we're going to play very quick. These were fast-paced concerts, and we're going to try and replicate that very fast pace of the concerts. So come out and enjoy it and hear it firsthand. And remember, just because it's not printed on the program doesn't mean we're not going to play it. Some of those pieces we're going to be playing as encores.
Well, I think what's interesting is, and I'll go over to Jerry here, is and I know this I might stump you, but, you know, how many marches did Sousa write, do you think, that have been published?
Well, Sousa wrote about 135, 136 marches. Not all of them were published. Some of them even have essentially been lost. It's difficult to find a complete collection of Sousa marches, although some bands have attempted those complete collections. Many of them are no longer in print, but the good news is that a lot of them that have been out of print are coming back, and especially what's exciting is that a lot of Sousa's compositions other than marches are now being edited and republished, and bands are beginning to play things that Sousa wrote other than marches. About probably half of his marches, quite a few dozen, are in the standard repertoire of bands these days. Some are much more popular than others, of course, but you can find the music for and play several dozen of them.
Well, I know I get to go to a lot of concerts since my son is a band director in the local area, and they always play a Sousa march, it seems. And I know that in all the competitions that the state high school bands are in, there's always has to be a march included as part of their performances. And, you know, I'm starting to recognize a lot of them after 40 years. And it's kind of interesting when you think about it. There was another song that you suggested that was called Liberty.
Liberty Bell.
Liberty Bell. If we can find Liberty Bell, I'd like to, let's see if we can hook that one up here in just a second. And when was that one written?
Liberty Bell was written in 1893. This was just immediately after he started his own band and was one of the first marches that he used, as Dan Smith was telling us about a moment ago. They would be out on tour, there would be some particular performance of something, and all of a sudden Mr. Sousa would turn to his musicians and say, Liberty Bell, and give the downbeat. And there was never any more time involved than
okay.
just that.
Well, I'll do the same thing. Liberty Bell. You've got me doing it. Boom, boom, boom. It's so energizing just to listen to the music, and it's still amazing to me that people can write music and hear all these different instruments in their heads somehow. I just don't understand. Do any of you write your own, or have you written music?
I have the same feeling as you do. How do these composers, Sousa or any of the other composers, do exactly that? How are they able to put this all together in their head and know what instrument they want to play when? And then we play it all, and you listen to it, and it's like, wow. And yet somebody imagined all of that.
I know, and this is before the technology where you can lay down one track at a time and then mix it all together. Because Jerry was telling us earlier that Sousa was one of the very first people to have some of his music recorded by the Edison Gramophone Company, but he could only record 90 seconds at a time. And you can kind of fill us in about his opinion of the recording industry.
Let me back up and comment on Sousa's compositional style. And he typically wrote his marches without any piano or instrument. He just heard it in his head. He usually wrote it out first as it would be played on piano. In the early years, then, he himself made the band arrangements for this. In the later years, he had people that he had confidence in that he'd just hand them that piece of paper and they would turn it into the music for the band to play. Sousa was extremely concerned about the rise of recorded music in this country. The technology was extremely primitive during Sousa's time, and he was very much concerned that this was, first of all, going to put musicians out of work in terms of providing live music, mm-hmm. and secondly, he was very concerned about the quality of these very short, primitive recordings, that this was just not music, this was not quality music, this was In fact, he coined the term canned music and applied that to the early wax cylinders because they came in a container, and he mm-hmm. said that's just canned music.
And it proved to be true that many, many musicians today unfortunately cannot make a living as a musician. We're going to need to take a really quick break, and we're going to come up with another bump music of Sousa, and if you can identify it, I'll give you I don't know what. anyway, we'll be right back after this really quick message. Nobles of the Mystic Shrine. How about that? Different types of marches too. That's what's interesting to me as a novice. But I'm starting to hear the differences between the tempo of these marches. Is that true, or am I just making this up?
No, you're not. You're not making it up. And that particular march includes a lot of unusual instruments. And it relates to one of Sousa's commitments. He was involved in a lot of organizations, and I need to make a plug on this program that he was a member of several American Legion posts because mm-hmm. of his military experience. But he was also a Mason and okay. may have been a Shriner. I'm uncertain about that. But this was written in honor of the Shriners. And as a result, it includes a lot of mystical kind of instrumentation with all sorts of strange percussion instruments in the background, but named to honor one of the organizations that he was longtime affiliated with.
Well, my grandson is a percussionist, and we were talking earlier, and his band was in New York a couple of weeks ago, and they played a tune that was about the sounds of New York City. And one of the percussionists came out and started bashing a garbage can on the stage floor, and everything else is going on at the same time, all these different clangs and clinks and bells and whistles and so on and so forth. So I can imagine that that these instruments of necessity come out, and I think that's kind of fun. I would think for those of you in the band, is it fun to play Sousa music?
Oh, it's absolutely a blast. It's one of those things where we're working hard on some of these more classical pieces and trying to get all the difficult fingerings and the key signatures change. And then when you get to a Sousa march, it's kind of like just relax and play and have fun. And it really is that.
Well, you play the euphonium.
The tuba.
The tuba. That's what I said earlier. Well, I was trying to sound like I knew what I was talking about. And you play the trombone.
Yes.
And then we've got a trumpet in here also. And all these instruments are in there. And did Sousa take any instruments and kind of modify them? I mean, you talked about the idea of the different sounds effects in the background, but I'm thinking of, did he change instruments as we know them today from when they were?
Yes. Sousa made dramatic changes in the instrumentation of the concert band. Prior to that time, it had been heavily brass-oriented. Sousa introduced a lot of woodwind instruments to the concert band. The saxophone in particular, he popularized all sizes of saxophones. And then probably his most notable invention was Sousa invented the sousaphone. He wanted a new type of tuba in his band, and so he invented to his own specifications and had manufacturers invent the sousaphone. And Dan is more equipped to talk about sousaphones than I am.
Having spent several years marching with sousaphones and perfecting how to march with them and move with them, I am very thankful that there was a slight design change made contrary to Sousa's specifications. So Sousa wanted the sound of the tuba to rise like an organ, and so he made the bell of the sousaphone face straight up, especially known as the rain catcher.
All right. Oh, yeah, I've seen those in concerts sometimes. They'll be just straight up.
And so instead of having the bell face front like most marching band instruments you see today for tubas, where it wraps around like a snake around the player that's playing it, and the bell faces front, and it's a little bit more manageable, and you can move them, you can do different moves with them, his were facing straight up. And I'm very glad they don't do that anymore.
That's kind of interesting. Because the sound of Sousa's music is just fascinating. You know, we're talking with three members of the Washtenaw Community Concert Band, and again, I'm going to give another plug here for their concert coming up on Sunday, May 22nd at 2 p.m. at the Michigan Theater in beautiful downtown Ann Arbor. And not only are you going to be going back to a theater that was built in the 1920s, and I wouldn't be surprised if Sousa played a concert in there at some point or another, or in one of the other theaters in the Ann Arbor area that are long gone, but it's really exciting. And the picture of Sousa, which is not really Sousa from what I understand now, but the costume that he is wearing, it's straight out of the 1890s, and I think that everybody's going to really enjoy this concert, and I encourage people to go.
And it's free.
Yes, as Jerry just pointed out, and it is free. But if you sign up early, you can get in on the informative portion of another part of the informative portion. You can get into the theater at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So make sure that you go to their website, which is not on here.
WCCband.org.
Okay, WCCband.org. WCC, that's on the back probably. Yeah, there it is. WCCband.org. And make sure they've got a character that's going to be playing John Philip Sousa. They've got somebody that's going to be playing Sousa's wife who's going to be singing. Are you guys going to be in period costumes at all? You're going to be in your typical tuxes or whatever it is that you wear when you're in your concerts. But they're going to have all these people coming in and out, different kinds of music, not just marches. And I think this is a great opportunity. How long has the Washtenaw County concert band been around?
We've been around since 1979. We were organized at that time as the Ypsilanti Community Band, but a few years ago, because we had people from all over playing in the group, we had a name change and have been performing ever since then as the Washtenaw Community Concert Band.
And how, not me, but people who can actually play instruments, how would I get involved if I wanted to?
You just show up.
Would I show up?
We rehearse on Tuesday evenings at the Whitmore Lake High School, just north of Ann Arbor. And we have people from all over the county. I think we have members from Myland and Dexter and Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor. And we start at 7 o'clock Tuesday evening at the Whitmore Lake High School, North Territorial Road, off of US 23. And we rehearse for 2 hours. And let me tell you, it is a lot of fun to sit and play music and not have to think about anything else except making music for 2 hours.
Not have to think about work, all right?
No work, no politics, no nothing.
Oh, there's no auditions either. Hey, maybe I can do this. I'll go dig up the clarinet my father took away from me. Anyway, thank you, gentlemen, for being on the program. For those of you that hang around, don't go away, because we're going to go out today on Stars and Stripes Forever, which happens to be my favorite Sousa tune, and I want to encourage you to stick around for that. And next week, Bob Gould will be back, and we're grateful for that, because Bob has been out for a little while recovering, and so we're excited to have Bob back. He's going to be talking with his favorite expert, Dr. Rebecca Grant, will be here to tell us what's going on with the Air Force these days. And we've got other music coming up, a couple of programs in June. We're going to be talking about veteran-produced music, and so I'm excited for that, and I want to make sure that you do that. Here we go. We'll be right back.